Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Antiques Freaks.
And I can hear those sleigh bells tingling, ring ting. I removed the tune because I don't know if that one's copyrighted.
You haven't checked in the last 7 days because you opened last week's with that too.
Wait, did I again?
You did.
Same one?
Uh-huh.
Okay, wait, restart.
No.
up on the rooftop. Tick, tick, tick.
So this is an antiques podcast, and presumably this week it will be about something?
It will be about something in the festive season of winter. Do you want to know what it is?
What is it?
Snow babies.
Is this revenge for me bringing you Funko Pop last week?
It's not actually, although I suppose, you know, fringe benefits, but it's actually just that I wanted to do something, you know, holiday-y. So, no, I mean, like, but snow babies have an association with, I mean, not just Christmas because they're just snow babies, but like with the winter months and all their festivity. And I think we mentioned talking about this before, and I was curious because I don't know jack about them, but now I do.
So for those of us who know nothing of the snow baby, what is it?
It's a figurine, broadly of children, although other characters peek in sometimes, that are generally dressed in snow suits, and they are cast in bisque porcelain, which, if you don't know, a bisque is an unglazed porcelain, so it has a matte texture.
Said to resemble human skin.
Said to resemble human skin, and that's a bold statement to make. I disagree. But what makes these especially special is that these little snow babies are covered in a ground-up bisque to create a rough texture similar to that of freshly fallen snow.
Visually similar.
Visually. On the fingers, it feels like 1,000 tacks.
It feels awful.
Yeah.
But it looks great.
It looks very, very plush and snowy. And that's what defines a snow baby, is the presence of that ground-up porcelain bisque snow. Later, it will be a different kind of material, but that's not really important. So, yeah, they're usually babies, hence the name. Not always babies. Sometimes Santa Claus sneaks in there, as he is wont to do. And polar bears come up, distressingly often, next to the babies. almost as if made by people who had never understood a polar bear before. Later on, the snow babies would come to encompass just about fucking anything.
With that texture?
Yeah.
Locked onto it?
Yeah. Like, there's a progression of how these little figurines evolved, where they lose the plot pretty quickly in the 1980s. They were also supposedly called Alaska Tots when they got exported to America by the, like, Sears and Roebuck and Marshall's Field Catalog.
That feels offensive.
I don't like Alaska Tot, yeah.
But they do have whales there.
They do have whales there. Potentially covered in snow.
No.
No, okay.
There's not a whole lot of snow down where the giant
Squidge. Leave that in. So are you ready to plumb the chilly depths of the snow baby?
Sure.
So, it was apparently originally a cake topper.
When in the fuck was this?
I couldn't find solid dates for this. So, in Germany, there was a thing called a Zuckerpuppen. And the information on... Yeah. Yeah, I hope everyone enjoyed my very good German accent there. I bet that sounded really great if you speak the language. I'll say it again. Zuckerpuppen.
What is Rammstein's new album, Zuckerpuppen, coming out?
No, that's their old... It was, there was, like, Zainzucht and Zuckerpuppen.
Zwitter and Zuckerpuppen.
So I couldn't find, like, any solid dates. This kind of seems to be one of just those widgy, like, folk things that possibly goes back really, really long time. But it was a Christmas time thing, so after the birth of Christ, at the very earliest. A Christmas type thing where you would make a little, like, sugar paste baby Jesus Christ for your Christmas cake.
Sure.
Later on, it would just become, I guess Zuckerpuppen means roughly like sugar doll.
Yeah.
Or sweet little baby, but I hate that, so.
It's literally sugar puppet.
Sugar puppet, okay, that makes sense.
I'm assuming, because Kong Langs are a thing.
Yeah. So sugar puppets were, you know, just little, kind of like the king cake baby, but edible.
Chomp.
So the legend goes, and I say legend because this is actually somewhat in debate. Another mystery, but not one I can solve for you, I'm sorry. And roughly in the 1890s, a baker by the name of Johann Mall commissioned a factory, which one? No one knows, to make a permanent version of the Zuckerpuppen.
Eternal sugar puppet.
Eternal sugar puppet. So you could take it off the cake, wash it, put it on your mantle, and put it back on the cake next year.
Because you just hate eating candy?
I don't know why. I tried to find his motivations, but he died. So, this is disputed because there's no proof that it happened. We don't have patents or even a surviving figure that goes back to the 1890s. Some people argue that these things weren't created until the 1900s. You know, that might be a bit of quibbling given that's a span of not a lot of time, relatively speaking, but it's worth noting. I feel like I would be doing a disservice if I didn't mention that not everyone's in agreement on this. But the supposed thing that happened was Hertwig and Co. went on to make more of these permanent Zuckerpuppens and was quickly followed by other German factories. Oh, I forgot to mention that the Zuckerpuppen is very specifically rolled in sugar. That's important here. That's why they have the snowy coat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry. I got all caught up in the mystery of whether or not it happened, but I forgot about the sugar that covers them.
Hence the texture.
Hence the texture. This was an interesting, what's the word?
I can't help you.
Coincidence.
There we go.
Because not too long after these little bisque Zuckerpuppen started popping up, say that 10 times fast, the expedition of Robert Peary to the North Pole happened.
The Peary expedition?
The Peary versus Cook expedition, yeah.
Is that the doomed one?
The Cook one will be doomed. Peary will make it and then be doomed.
So, Cook is doomed.
Yes. The thing that happened is, while Peary is on this expedition, which famously his wife went with him despite the fact that she was pregnant, she did give birth to her daughter, not too far below the North Pole. Let me be completely blunt. A, I don't believe it. B, I don't care. It was...
Good start. Strong start.
It comes up a lot that she was the first white baby born on the native soil ever in the ever-ever, and supposedly the native folk were so taken with the baby that they nicknamed her Snow Baby. It's bullshit. It's garbage. I'm almost certain it didn't happen because later there's a book that was written by the girl's mother where she calls her little Snow Baby. And for a lot of people, that was the first time they had heard that goddamn term. So I'm pretty sure everything else was just mythologizing. At, of course, the expense of the native people. Someone called the baby a Snow Baby. And this happened right after the Zuckerpuppens. And, you know, the Cook and Peary expeditions were huge. They were a big thing. This was uncharted territory. Some of the last left in the world. So people saw these little snow babies and were like, hey, that makes me think of those people dying out there in the snow. And it kind of fueled popularity for them.
Not to get too off topic, but so this is a different polar expedition from the one in the Terror.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is. And if you were wondering, yes, there is a snow baby specifically of Cook and Peary racing each other to the top of the North Pole.
Does it have the part where Cook doesn't make it?
No, he was alive when it was made.
They made snow baby figurines of Cook and Peary before the race was complete?
Yes.
Man, they were just on top of their marketing, weren't they?
They really were. And it's a chilling thing to look at, not because of the nature of the expedition and the lives it would end up taking, but mostly because it's sculpted really creepy in that grotesque fashion the Germans are so fond of.
Wow. Shout out to all our German fans.
No, I love it. It's one of my favorite things about German pottery, but it is a hallmark of the art style. They invented the grotesque. Like, I don't know what to tell you. So on the heels of this popularity, they began to export to the UK and the US in the 1900s, where they were just put on cakes in the UK. Nobody was really, like, thinking outside the box on that. But in the US, they ended up getting into women's magazines as Christmas decorations. Which seems insipid, but hey.
Wow.
We did an episode on Funko Pops, so what am I gonna talk about? Like, oh, the past was so much more short-sighted than us.
Will you ever forgive me?
I will.
Okay.
I own a Funko Pop, I can. So, German production of the Snow Babies ended for the first time for, guess what? Guess what? You'll never guess.
World War One!
For some reason, people didn't want to buy adorable rosy-cheeked babies from the Germans at that point.
Weird.
Yeah, I know. So even after World War One, when Germany kicks up production again, people still aren't as keen on it as they used to be.
They didn't instantly forget World War One after it stopped?
No, it turns out it changed the landscape of everything forever.
Oh, wow, weird.
So rolling around to the 1920s, Japan picks up making snow babies. They're cheap copies of the originals. They lack half the charm and most of the detail, but Japan didn't hurt anybody anytime recently.
Yet.
yet. We'll get there. So they actually got pretty popular for a while.
And then suddenly they had another world war and people didn't want to buy cute babies from Japan anymore.
Pretty much.
Jesus fucking Christ.
So Germany had almost recovered.
Uh-huh.
Like, by the time World War II will roll around again, they were sort of the sweethearts of the snow baby world again.
But
then World War II happened, and everyone was really done with literally all those countries' happy snowy baby bullshit.
Jesus Christ.
I have dubbed this the dormant snow baby phase, and it will continue for nigh on 50 years.
Would you say they went into hibernation?
Yes. They bundled up in their snowy little snowsuits, and they slept.
That's when they befriended the bears.
1,000 years.
They didn't.
But beneath that surface...
They came back in like 50.
What grim horror. The grim horror was Department 56.
What?
1987.
What? What in the fuck?
You know the company Department 56?
No, I've never heard of this thing.
It was a 19...
I thought you were making a Stranger Things reference or something.
No, Department 86 is a real thing. It's a collectibles company.
Okay.
And in 1987, they, for reasons unknown, except that an artist came to them with designs based on the snow babies, and they said, yeah, those are puffy, I like them, and began production, which continues to this day.
Ta-da!
And that's the rough and frankly depressing history of the snow babies, as is everything that was manufactured in Germany.
The end.
Now you're doing it.
It sounded final.
It's not. I need to talk about the babies and what makes them special. Don't you want to know what makes them special?
The texture?
Yeah, the texture, but there's different ways the texture is there. And shapes of the texture. Namely, baby shapes. So there are three generally accepted category of snow baby.
Dumb, dumb, or dumbest?
Pre-war, post-war, and after the happening. No, I made that last one up. But Department 56.
Department 56 does, okay, like, as a store name, it is extremely ominous.
It's very, like, where they send people who don't behave.
It's, yeah, it sounds like every speculative fiction short published in the last 5 years.
Snow babies, which we all know come from SCP-56.
Yeah, exactly. It sounds like everyone wants to write for Secure, Contain, Protect.
I guess I got so numb to the existence of Department 56 that it's just occurring to me how, like, ominous it is.
Like, are we sure this isn't a creepypasta?
Not positive. So, the early pre-war babies, which covers the potentially mythical period of 1890 to World War I, are defined by a few things. They were very, very detailed, although they were in static poses, and the paint was carefully fired onto the bisque to keep it vibrant and long-lasting, although the colors were usually pastel in nature. Sometimes these figures would be left in all white except for the painting of the face. Oftentimes they were attached to things like trinket boxes or figures on little candle holders. Again, static poses kind of define this one, as well as a fine craftsmanship. They're also all German and will be marked Germany, because the one thing the Germans were good at was letting everyone know when something was German.
Sure thing.
At this point, they also made porcelain ones, not bisque, like proper glazed porcelain.
Ooh.
And jointed dolls, which are now considerably rare. The post-war babies are anything after World War I and start to encompass Japan as well as Germany in terms of manufacture. They're much smaller, where the pre-war babies are 5 to 7 inches. These are 1 to 3 inches. They have brighter paint, but less detailed faces, and the paint tends to come off because it's not fired on anymore.
They're getting sloppy.
They're getting sloppy. So the post-war babies are also defined by the fact that they're way more active. All snow babies are doing winter activity by default, but the post-war babies are, they're more animated. So, like, instead of standing with a pair of skis, they'll be, like, leaning forward skiing, or, like, tumbling down a hill is one, or riding a polar bear, which, again, don't let your kids do that. And, lastly, we have Department 56. They are big. Bigger. 5 to 7 inches to 12. I bet there's a life-size one out there somewhere.
I was about to ask. I was afraid of the answer.
Yeah, I'm afraid of it too. Because I know it.
Yeah?
These are, again, higher detail, but, like, as time goes on, they get cartoonier and cartoonier in proportion. To the point where now I would say they kind of resemble, like, a Peanuts sort of thing.
Oh, just, like, 80% head?
Yeah.
Almost like a Funko Pop.
Almost like a Funko Pop. So, you're looking to collect them now, aren't you?
No.
Excited. You love snow babies. You love them.
I don't, but I'm afraid if I say I don't, you'll send me to Department 56.
I'm going to take you to Department 56 for re-engineering.
No.
So, if you're interested in collecting, we'll start with the obvious. The best pieces are unusual pieces. This is kind of static for everything. For example, the Pyrian cook racing to the North Pole easily goes into the thousands. Although that's pretty rare, and most of the really, really old ones stay in the hundreds. You're talking the jointed dolls, the porcelain knot bisque figures, any figure that depicts an older person in general, Santa Claus, mothers pushing prams, that kind of thing, those are unusual and will start hitting the hundreds pretty fast. Anything that was a current event at the time. I read the phrase current event 3 times, but it seems to be pretty limited to expeditions to the North Pole. They were doing something else in the 1920s. There was a piece about that, but it's just, you know, it's got to be snow-related for anyone to think to make a snow baby out of it. The Santa in an airplane, which I'm not going anywhere with that. I just wanted you to know what happened.
Okay.
The older pieces are judged by face paint and detail quality, as well as the activity the babies are engaged in and condition, especially with, like, little wooden props if they had little wooden hockey sticks, that kind of thing. Presence of animals is a huge plus, especially in the older pieces.
Even polar bears?
Yeah, no, polar bears are considered very valuable, even though those children are minutes from grim death and reassembling at Department 56.
Oh, fuck. Was the polar bear on Lost a reference to snow babies taking you to Department 56?
Buddy, I have never even read the Wikipedia for Lost.
I'm 90% sure there's a polar bear in it.
That's great. Proud of you. As for collecting the Department 56 ones, they are very much like Beanie Babies.
Oh no.
They maintain a pretty low value, they are produced at what I would call, frankly, a terrifying rate, and who knows how Department 56 really operates on the inside, and their value is attached to periodic retirements.
Oh no.
Does it sound familiar? It should.
I wish it didn't.
So pretty much my only note on this is, I can't help you, there's too many, their value floor is very low.
So they're investment pieces.
They are not investment pieces, that's exactly the point I was trying to make. The new snow babies should only be collected if they bring you a sense of personal joy. That is it. That is what they are good for, making you happy if they do, the end.
Making money hand over fist in the secondhand market.
None. They are disgustingly mass produced. And tracking the retirements is almost an eldritch calculation, and I don't like it. It seems like they cycle in and out of retirement in, like, a frantic, dizzying circle.
Yeah, that's cheating.
It's cheating, yeah, and it's also tanking the value. So, again, these are not an investment. They are mass-produced. Do not.
If you say you're retiring it, you have to literally smash the mold with a hammer. Like, you have to literally break the mold.
Yeah, and you have to video it.
Yes.
And you have to look in the camera and say, I'm Department 56, and that mold was alive.
And then you have to mail each of us a piece of it.
Yes. Doing that, you will be spreading the curse. But it will become dampened by each piece you send. So, of course, obviously, since we're talking about an antique that both has a storied and valued history, as well as just a million goddamn judge keys being pumped out as I speak, reproductions are a huge problem.
Oopsies.
Given that this was not a tightly regulated, controlled, trademarked, IP-protected nothing, it was just kind of a lot of people piggybacking on each other on, like, it looks neat when the kids are covered in snow.
It is a remarkable texture for porcelain to have. Like, visually, it's rather stunning.
It is. And
the first 500 times you see it, after which point it gets just plain exhausting.
I don't think I've ever been exhausted by it. I like the texture. It's very novel.
When I looked at it before I touched it, it looked really cool, but now that I know what it feels like after having touched it...
You know, catching the reproductions is going to be tough, so I'll help you with reproductions for the old ones, because that I can figure out. One of the biggest things is the snow. If it's a reproduction, the snow isn't applied the same way. You don't have the same materials anymore, which is one thing, so the texture is off, the density is off, and the application just tends to be generally sloppy, and one thing, the hallmark... saving grace, the new ones always have black specks in it for some reason.
Really?
Yeah, there are regular black specks that will not come out. They are distinct from dirt, and it's just pockmarked with, like, little peppers. Couldn't find an explanation as to why this was other than just bad material.
So on the original Snow Babies, I'm assuming the crushed up porcelain was porcelain that had been fired and then crushed while it was dry and then reapplied to wet porcelain and baked a second time?
Yes.
Is it possible that in the new run, they are rushing it to the point where they are burning the porcelain?
Possibly. I wouldn't count that out. Another thing to watch out for is that there are Snow Babies out there that are these really carefully crafted fantasy pieces. Now, as we've discussed again, a fantasy piece is not exactly reproduction, but is a creation that does not have a piece that it's been reproduced from. It's a wholly new imagined thing being passed off as old. So what they do is they take German bisque figures that are unrelated to Snow Babies and coat them in the snow.
Oh no, frozen Charlotte.
Yeah, they froze, they done froze Charlotte.
Again.
They done did it again.
They got her good.
That can be a little bit tougher because, again, it's on the base of an antique piece, so the markings are all going to check out. It's going to look old. The only thing you can really look out for is the obvious mismatch in the material. The snow will be unusually white for the age of the piece. And just the idea that it won't look like a regular snow baby because it's not. If it's got, like, later hosen that have been snowed, it might not be a snow baby because they didn't tend to wear that.
Well, you know, your winter later hosen.
And you can just look at sculpting techniques, what is the figure doing? Does it make any sense? Is it playing basketball? They didn't do that because they were winter sports, if they did sports at all. That's kind of one thing you can look out for. And everything else is markings. Most of these were pretty reliably marked. Again, like I said, you can still be kind of fooled by it, but, you know, Department 56 ones are very clearly marked from their old counterparts. The Japan ones were very clearly marked. And the German ones, half and half. And that's pretty much it. For real.
Are we truly free of the snow babies?
Yeah. We've escaped.
We've escaped Department 56.
Yeah. Here we crawl from its grasp, gasping, looking into the baleful eyes of Cook as he turns away. Into the unknown. Into what?
Into getting murdered, rightfully so.
Into terror.
The terror?
The terror. On NBC. ABC, AMC. Is theaters.
It? I don't...
The TV.
It's not...
It's on the TV.
I mean, mostly it's on Tumblr, but...
It's on the television.
Sources?
Sources include marymorrison.org, wenedidonesnowbaby.com, liveauctioneers.com, article Snow Babies, It's Cold Outside.
Extremely good.
And Cavell's Price Guide, Snow Babies.
Thanks, Cavills.
Oh, I'm sorry. And PBS.org, appraisals, Snow Babies collection.
Snow Babies made onto Antiques Roadshow?
Yeah. Well, it was, they were old German ones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They didn't just put a grandma on camera to tell her everything was worthless.
No, they didn't. I was surprised because I actually didn't know that Snow Babies went back that far. I thought they were Department 56 only because that was the extent of my involvement with them.
Those are the ones you see at Savers.
Yeah, those are the ones you're probably thinking of right now. So that was kind of cool finding out that there was any history to them.
Cool.
Yeah. And if you're a purist, now you can go out and find, like, really old Snow Babies and say, like, nah. You can be like a hipster. Just be, these are my original antique Snow Babies. Ken is laughing at me. He's laughing at my assertions.
No, I'm just laughing with glee thinking about how popular you'll be at the brew pub when you break out your Snow Baby collection.
And just start pelting the agents from Department 656 away from you. Away from your friends. Oh my god, they found you. They found the Snow Babies. They found the source. You gotta go. You gotta run.
So, okay.
Those are eggs, they scream. Those are eggs!
So we make a Zombies Run ripoff, except it's Snow Babies Run?
Yeah, you're trying to protect the last of the antique Snow Babies.
From Department 56.
Department 56 is trying to subsume them all.
Oh no. If you have ideas for how to get this Snow Babies Run app off the ground, you can email us directly at antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com or hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/antiquesfreaks. And while you're there, you can join our Facebook group, Antiques Freaks Friends.
And on there, you can tell us the truth about Department 56 before they censor you. And or show us your Snow Babies.
If you would like to pick up some vintage goods,
we have... No Snow Babies, thank you.
No Snow Babies. But we do have an Etsy shop at etsy.com/shop/antiquesfreaks, where we also have stickers and t-shirts with the podcast logo on them.
And you will be delighted.
If you would like to listen to deleted scenes, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/antiquesfreaks. And we also have the Random Vintage Postcard of the Month Club, where we send you a random vintage postcard every month.
If you like what you heard here today, or any other day, it would be incredibly helpful if you get on down to wherever you're listening to this podcast and shoot us a rating. I prefer 5 stars. Ken says you can do whatever you want. Don't listen to him. That is the voice of the Department 56 trying to stymie you. Give us the 5 stars. But any rating you give us really helps out, gets our voices out there, and gets us new listeners, which is great, and we love it.
Bump
we love
you. Us up the charts.
Bump us up the church.
Church?
Church. Get, em, get us up there. All up the church.
All up the church.
We're Perry and Cook, and we're on an expedition to the North Pole of the podcast charts. And one of us will die.
Oh no. Special shout out to our current patrons for paying our hosting fees and getting us ever closer to our goal of releasing bonus episodes.
We love you.
Very much. And thank you in particular for listening.
That's for you.
Goodbye.